Let's read together Psalms 28 and 29. In Psalm 28, David draws a great distinction between himself and the wicked, both in desire and deliverance. And in Psalm 29, David prays the Lord for both his awesome power over nature and for the awesome strength he gives to his people. Let's read Psalm 28. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. For the Lord is the strength of his people, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 28. Once again, we should mention the need to remember that when we are reading the Psalms, we are reading Old Testament scripture before the coming of Christ and before the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell every Christian. So we can see that the first three verses of this psalm are not exactly the kind of prayer we would pray as New Testament believers. We do not have to request that the Lord not turn a deaf ear to us, and we do not have to pray that we will not be dragged away with the wicked. As believers who have been declared righteous and brought into the family of God, we have the assurance that God hears our prayers and heaven is our sure future home. But what about the next two verses of Psalm 28, verses 4 and 5? Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Is this the kind of prayer a New Testament believer should pray? Well, that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 28. There is a time and place for imprecation. There is a time and place for imprecation. Imprecation comes from a word meaning to curse, and certain of the Psalms, or parts of certain Psalms, are called imprecatory, because they call for God's judgment on the unbeliever. Now, how does this line up with the principles of New Testament praying? Especially when the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. So how does this imprecation in the Old Testament line up with what we have here in the Sermon on the Mount? Answer, there is a time and place for imprecation. Even in the New Testament, we find imprecation. In Galatians chapter 1, for example, Paul calls for the judgment of God upon those who would distort and preach any other gospel than the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus alone. I'm reading Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. So there is imprecation in both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Now, it is extremely important to note that all biblical imprecation is not a call for personal revenge, but for a vindication of God's standards of righteousness and holiness in view of the wicked with their evil plans and practices. Look again at verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 28. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. There is a time and place for imprecation. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 28? Praise the Lord for being our SSS. Praise the Lord for being our SSS. Can you find three S's in verses 6 through 9 that describe our wonderful Lord? The Lord is our strength, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is our shield, verse 7. The Lord is our shepherd, verse 9. As the Lord's people, we should praise the Lord for being our strength, our shield, and our shepherd. Is there any situation that is too hard for the Lord? Of course not. His strength is more than sufficient to meet any need or problem or difficult situation of his people. Financial and other obstacles are no problem if you are doing and want to do the Lord's will. What about being our shield? Do you think the enemy of our souls can do anything to us that God doesn't allow? No way. Wait until we get to heaven and look back and see all the situations we were not even aware of where the Lord defended us as our shield. And if you were thinking that the Lord as our strength and shield was not personal enough, then praise the Lord as our shepherd. As our shepherd, the Lord cares for each one of us as his individual sheep, and he cares for us as his own flock. What more could we ask for? As David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise the Lord for being our SSS. Let's continue by reading Psalm 29. Psalm 29, beginning now with verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 29. In verse 1, the sons of the mighty, or mighty ones, or simply the mighty, probably refers to angels. They are called upon to give glory unto the Lord and worship him in the beauty of holiness, or in holy array. Now, there is some question here as to whether this phrase, beauty of holiness, or holy array, refers to the angels who are praising the Lord, or to the Lord himself in his moral beauty. In either case, the phrase has to do with moral quality and not physical appearance. Let us praise and worship the Lord in his moral perfections, and let us aim to be morally blameless in our own character. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 29. God is sovereign over storms. God is sovereign over storms. In verses 3 through 9, David considers a major storm as it moves in from the Mediterranean Sea and sweeps inland to Lebanon and Syria north of Israel. The Kadesh of verse 8 is north of Damascus. The thunder and lightning are seen as the voice of the Lord, causing the earth to tremble and the mighty cedars of Lebanon to break. We would have run for cover if we had experienced this storm. This storm was so awesome that it caused the deer to give birth prematurely. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. Most likely the flood of verse 10 is the flood of Noah's day. The Hebrew word used for flood here only occurs elsewhere in Genesis 6 through 11, where we have the biblical account of the flood. The storm of David's day reminded David of the global flood of Noah's day. And in both cases, David is aware that God is sovereign over nature. What a contrast to the pagan ideas of the nations surrounding Israel, that the heathen gods were in control of nature. No way. And just as the worldwide flood of Noah's day was under God's sovereign control, and used by God to accomplish his purposes, so every storm of nature is under God's sovereign control, and not just by chance. And God can use the storms of nature to accomplish his purposes just as much today as he always has in the past. Did you ever have God teach you anything from a storm? Maybe humility, maybe reverence. And God is sovereign over the storms of life as well, and uses them to teach us lessons and accomplish his purposes in our lives, if we're willing to learn and let God's will be done. Are any of you going through a storm of life right now? Remember, God is sovereign over storms. And practical application for Psalm 29. Let's not complain about the weather. Let's not complain about the weather. Did you ever complain about the weather? We all have, especially when it messes up our plans, that is, our plans from our perspective. We want rain when we have just planted a garden or new lawn, but we don't want rain when we're going out to the beach or golfing. We want snow when we're going skiing, but we don't want snow when we are traveling. So we complain and excuse ourselves because it's that miserable weather. The bottom line is that we should not complain about the weather because God is sovereign over storms. And nothing is by chance, including the weather. God may have all kinds of reasons that we're not even aware of as to why there are storms and droughts and floods and hurricanes. Illustration. The Lord used a hailstorm to damage our cars, but it provided the money we needed to make our move from Chicago to Rhode Island. We suffered some hailstone damage on our vehicles as a result, but we're not complaining. I wish we could say that we never complained about the weather. The Lord is sovereign over storms. Let's not complain about the weather.